Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Amen. Well, y'all ready to study the Word tonight? There's no place I'd rather be. I mean, you could be out there buying gas. Who wants to do that right now? Amen. I heard a good joke. Actually, Billy McLaughlin shared it with me, and I want to share it with you guys tonight before we get started. And it has to do with Easter. Easter is around the corner. Y'all want to hear it? So this man and his nagging wife. Hey, listen, ladies, I'll put it this way. This lady and her nagging husband. How's that sound? I don't want to get in trouble tonight. You'll like it at the end. But anyways, they go on a trip to Israel with their church. And because of some circumstances, they're there for quite some time. This man's wife, she passes away. It's very tragic, very upset. They've been married a long time, his nagging wife and him. And anyways, they're there, and the authorities from Israel, they come and they say, "Sir, we could give her a proper Jewish burial right here in Jerusalem, and we would love to bury your loved one for $300. Or you can fly her back to the States, and it's going to cost you $45,000. And right away, he said, "I'll fly her back to the States." And he said, "Sir, that is a foolish financial decision. How in the world did you come up with that? I mean, you don't look like a guy who has that kind of money." He said, "I'll find the money. And we're taking her back to the States, $45,000, you got a deal." He said, "Sir, can you tell me what's the final decision in all this?" He said, "The last time they buried someone here, he rose in 3 days, and I'm not willing to take that chance." Come on. Easter's around the corner. The reason I tell you that, come on, invite some people to Easter. How many of y'all believe he's risen? Amen. All right. Cindy, you can tell up nagging husband, all right? How's that sound? All right, y'all ready for the Word tonight? Aren't you thankful that you came to church on a Wednesday night? You know, it makes me so happy seeing all these cars on a Wednesday night. It looks like this place is alive. How many of y'all believe it's alive in here? We got the Word in here. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to go with it again. It gets better every time, doesn't it? I hope you're getting it in your spirit, getting your memorization, so the Spirit of God can bring it back to you. It has to be in there for him to remind you of it. Amen? It says in Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand," come on, let's say it together, "stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Those of you that were here last week, we talked about the breastplate of righteousness. Come on, how many of y'all this week said, "I am the righteousness of God in Christ"? There's some high points that I wanted to share with you as a recap today. As you walk with the breastplate firmly in place, you will learn that your righteousness is not only a defensive weapon to protect you from the blows of the enemy, but it is also an offensive weapon to assist you as you assault the enemy and take back lost territory. Because the devil desires to penetrate and immobilize a person's mind and emotions, he especially delights in finding believers who do not know they are righteous, but they are easy prey to the enemy. When the enemy knows that you are not righteous, it's easy for him to come inside of your mind. No word of condemnation, no false allegation, and no guilty thought will penetrate your heart or lodge in your mind when you are walking in your breastplate of righteousness. You see, your mental attitude has everything to do with how well you perform in the midst of a fight. How many of y'all believe that? When a believer finally grabs hold of the truth that God has graciously imparted righteousness to him, that knowledge changes him. An attitude of righteousness will profoundly affect your prayer life. When you pray in confidence, amen, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you have been positively influenced by an understanding of righteousness, it gives you reassurance you need to step out and boldly do the work of God. When you walk in righteousness, you wear a weapon of defense against the enemy's slanderous accusations and insidious strategies. With your breastplate of righteousness fixed firmly in place, God's glory radiates from your life to all those around you. So kick your shoulders back. Have that breastplate out in front of you because it gets shinier and shinier all the time. As you walk in the breastplate of righteousness, a righteousness consciousness will begin to develop, overtaking your false emotions of unworthiness and condemnation. And with every step you take in righteousness, you will begin to become more and more gorgeous to the eyes of God and more blinding to the eyes of the enemy. Amen. All right, y'all ready to go to the shoes of peace? We got a lot to cover, a whole lot to cover. I've been up since 4 this morning, and I've had lots of coffee. So if I talk fast, it may be praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Ephesians 6:15, New King James. It says, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." King James Version says, "And your feet shod." He's a horseshoer. Come on. Hallelujah. There's an anointing there. Ephesians 6:15, ain't that right? "And having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace," I love the Amplified, "in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news." And you're going to see why it says firm-footed stability tonight. Passion Translation says, "Stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace." The Roman soldier's shoes were not ordinary shoes. You can tell a lot by a man in his shoes. Where he's been. Right? Don't get me started on that. I taught her how to swing. She taught me how to dangle. In the first place, Dr. Pepper, you notice he didn't say Coke, all right? In the first place, they were made out of bronze or brass, usually brass, and the shoes were primarily composed of two parts. The greave and the shoe itself. The shoes were exceptionally dangerous to any foe. The greave was a tube-like piece of bronze or brass that began at the top of the knee and extended down past the lower leg, finally resting on the upper portion of the foot. It was made from a warped sheet of beautifully tooled metal that had been specifically formed to fit around the calf of the Roman soldier's leg. As stated earlier, this tube-like piece of metal caused the Roman soldier's shoes to look like boots that were made of brass. The shoe itself was made of two pieces of metal. On the top and bottom, the foot was covered with fine pieces of brass. The sides of the shoes were held together by multiple pieces of durable leather. On the bottom, the shoes were equipped with extremely dangerous spikes that were 1 or more inches long. If a soldier was involved in an act of combat, his spikes could have been close to 3 inches long. Believe me, the shoes could kill. Paul had these very shoes in mind when he said, "And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace," when you realize what the shoes look like and how dangerous those sharpened spikes could be, you begin to understand why it is so amazing that Paul would use this illustration to describe peace. Somebody's going to get something tonight. According to Paul, peace is an awesome weapon, both defensive and offensive. Peace not only protects you, but it also provides you with a brutal weapon to wield against the enemy when he attacks. If you use the weapon of peace correctly, it will keep spiritual enemies where they belong, under your feet. I'm going to say it again. If you use the weapon of peace correctly, it will keep spiritual enemies where they belong, under your feet. One good kick and the enemy's strategies against you will be crushed. Notice that Paul says, and having your feet shod. The word shod is derived from the word hupodynamai. Hupodynamai. This is a compound of the word hupo and dio. The word hupo means under, and dio means to bind. Taken together as one word, this word conveys the idea of binding something very tightly on the bottom of one's feet. Therefore, this is not a picture of a loosely fitted shoe. This is the picture of a shoe that has been tied onto the bottom of the foot extremely tightly. Now, Paul uses the same word to tell us that we must firmly tie peace around our lives. If we only give peace a loosely fitted position in our life, the affairs of life will easily knock our peace out of place. So we must position peace firmly in place, binding it around our minds and our emotions in the same way that Roman soldiers made sure to bind their shoes very tightly onto their feet. When peace has the firm grip in our lives, we are then ready for action. So Paul continues, having your feet shod with the preparation. The word preparation comes from the word hallelujah. Is anybody have an interpretation right now? And carries the idea of readiness or preparation. Etoi mason, or whatever, JC. Don't be telling me how to teach right now, okay? However, the word. There you go. Look at him. He don't even know what he's saying. When used in connection with Roman soldiers, portrayed men of war who had their shoes tied on very tightly and hence had a firm footing. With the assurance that their shoes were going to stay in place, they were ready to march out in the battlefield and confront the enemy. Therefore, the word preparation conveys the idea of solidity, firmness, or a solid foundation. Because Paul has carefully chosen the word to note the action of peace in our lives, he is clearly telling us that when peace is foundational in our lives, we have a firm footing. This gets good. Peace gives us a foundation so secure that we can step out in confident faith without being moved by what we see or what we hear. Amen? This aggressive peace also puts us in a position to look directly into the face of the adversary or a challenge without fear or intimidation. Paul continues, in having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word peace is taken from the Greek word eirene, an old word that conveys the idea of a peace that prevails or a conquering peace. When used in salutations, as Paul uses it in his epistles, the word means blessings and prosperity in every area of one's life. By using this word, Paul declares that when an individual receives the truth of the gospel message into his or her heart, that truth brings blessings and prosperity along with it. In fact, the word peace implies that this conquering force will be so strong and effective, all the chaos formerly experienced by that individual will be replaced. Ooh, I like it. Will be replaced with a peace that prevails in every area of his or her life. If this supernatural peace is being disturbed in your life and chaos is attempting to regain its former place, you need to recognize that you are under siege. However, the presence of chaos and the absence of peace does not necessarily mean that the enemy has attacked you. I'm going to say that again. The presence of chaos and in the absence of peace does not necessarily mean that the enemy has attacked you. It may be a signpost that you have violated some principle of Scripture or that you have disobeyed the will of God for your life. So before you run out to fight the devil off your back, look in the mirror. The devil is not always the source of your problem. Be honest with yourself and with God. Examine your life to see if you caused the lack of peace in your life. What are you watching? I remember years ago, there's a man that came to me and he said, I want you to pray for peace in my daughter. And I said, I'd love to pray for peace in your situation. What's going on? I'm having nightmares. Why are you having nightmares? They came in. I was still at the grip building, had an office over there. There's a young lady. And as I began to pick it apart, the parents love to watch horror films. I'm not a rocket scientist, but I can figure it out. Amen? Look in the mirror. The devil is not always the source of your problems. Be honest with yourself and with God. Examine your life to see if you caused the lack of peace in your life. Before you shift blame for a personal failure in your life to someone else, or before you claim that the devil is after your peace, take a moment to examine yourself. See, if you left a gaping hole open somewhere along the way that gave rise to your current dilemma. God's perfect plan is that this prevailing and conquering peace will dominate your life. When this kind of peace is firmly fixed in your mind and in your emotions, there is little the devil can do to move you. This peace gives you a firm footing. Regardless of how hard the enemy or the daily affairs of life hit you, this prevailing and conquering peace will hold you in place. There's two kinds of peace. First, there is peace with God. Peace with God is what a person experiences when he or she first comes to the Lord for salvation. How many of y'all thankful for a peace with God? You came into the righteousness of God in Christ. Once repentance is complete and the hostility of the old man is gone, a new peace with God comes into being. We see this in Colossians 1:20. It says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." Peace with God is a spiritual condition that belongs to all believers. I'm going to say that again. Peace with God belongs to all believers. It is the condition that comes in the beam when the barrier between God and man dissolves and the alienated mind comes into harmony with God. This, of course, is what genuine conversion is all about. In addition to the peace with God, that is the birthright of all believers. There is also the peace of God. It is impossible to have peace with God without experiencing the peace of God, for they are two different things. Many people are at peace with God by virtue of their conversion experience, but they are not walking in the peace of God. Instead of being dominated by this prevailing, conquering peace that surpasses natural understanding, these people walk in constant fretfulness, anxiety, worry, and all kinds of other turmoil. How many of y'all know them people? This is the reason that peace has been given to us as a weapon. The peace of God is a protective peace. It protects you from anxiety, worry, and everything else that the devil might try to disturb you, disturb your enjoyment of abundant life. Peace that dominates. Colossians 3:15 says this, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." In this verse, Paul commands us to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The word rule is a key to understanding this overcoming, conquering, and dominating supernatural peace of God. The word rule is taken from the Greek word brabuo. This word was used to portray the umpire or referee who who judges the athletic games in the ancient world. Why did Paul use this word to illustrate the peace of God ruling in our hearts? By choosing to use this illustration, Paul tells us that there is a place whereby the peace of God, instead of fretfulness, anxiety, and worry, can begin to call the shots and make all the decisions in your life. You can translate the verse like this: let the peace of God call the shots in your life. Let the peace of God umpire your life and your actions. Let the peace of God referee your emotions and your decisions. Amen? The devil takes advantage of unrenewed areas of your mind, attempting to turn them into emotional roller coasters that constantly have you feeling up one day and down the next. Even if they weren't a personal devil to attack you, the ever-changing affairs of life alone would be enough to keep you continually tossed to and fro in your mind and in your emotions. This is why we must learn to let the peace of God rule in our hearts, especially in these difficult days in which we live. Amen? When this supernatural peace rules in your heart, empowering your life in serving as a referee to your emotions and your decisions, the devil cannot gain the foothold in your life he desires to have. Satan can't play games with your emotions or your mind when they are being governed by peace. You see why Paul includes peace in this section of Scripture about spiritual weaponry. When you are walking in the peace of God, the enemy's assault lose their power to harm you. Such onslaughts are simply not effective against you when you're walking in the overwhelming, conquering, and prevailing peace of God. A defensive weapon. To see further why Paul used the illustration of a Roman soldier's shoes to depict peace, we must carefully consider how the soldier's shoes was made and what this dangerously spiked shoe did for the soldier. The greave began at the top of the knee and extended down past the lower leg, all the way to the upper portion of the foot. Why do you suppose the upper portion of the Roman soldier's footwear covered the entire lower half of his legs? And why was this greave made of solid bronze or brass? This particular piece of armor was very important. After all, it was the greave that protected the Roman soldier's legs from being bruised or broken in battle. A bruised or broken leg could quickly spell disaster for a soldier. A bruised leg meant he would probably be impaired in his fighting and in his ability to swiftly respond to an attack. A lacerated leg meant he could potentially lose large amounts of blood and become too weakened to fight. A broken leg meant he could not stand to defend himself. And in this humble position, it was far easier for a soldier's enemy to take his head off his shoulders. Because of these potential dangers, the Roman soldiers had to be certain that his legs were protected. A damaged leg most assuredly meant that the struggle would be more intense and potentially fatal. Furthermore, commanding officers gave orders that required Roman soldiers to carry out difficult missions. At times, these dangerous missions required the soldiers to walk through rocky places and to scale difficult barriers. Without protective guards on their lower legs, the soldiers' legs would have been severely wounded and bruised as they made their way past through sharp rocks. However, because these soldiers had greaves of brass tightly bound around their legs, they could walk through the rock used in roughest of places without getting one scrape or bruise. Are you getting it yet? Their greaves protected the soldiers from danger and gave them the assurance they needed to proceed in the mission that had been given to them. Likewise, God may give you an assignment in life that leads you through some challenging places. challenging places. If you do not have the protective peace of God at work in your life, it is highly probable that you will be mentally and emotionally bruised and battered by rocky relationships and rough situations. On the other hand, when the peace of God is ruling in your heart, your mind, and emotions, you can forge your way through the rockiest of situations and never get one scrape or bruise. Therefore, it is God's peace that enables you to successfully fulfill any mission He gives you in life. Amen? Not only did Roman soldiers walk through rocky places, they were called to walk through thorny places as well. If you have ever been forced to walk through a large thorn patch, you know how wicked these thorns can be. Y'all messed with mesquite bushes before. If you get caught in them, you can tear your legs to pieces. But Roman soldiers rarely got a scratch. Their legs didn't bleed. Their legs were never scuffed, and their legs were never seriously damaged by these fearsome thorns. Their legs were completely covered and carefully protected by the greaves of brass that had been wrapped around their legs to protect them from getting injured. Similarly with us, if you make it past those rocky places in your life and you're headed toward victory, the enemy may try to abort your victory by forcing you through a thorn patch. I mean, y'all have ever seen those thorn patches before. Your thorn patch may be a difficult financial situation. It may be a bad marriage. It may be a sick body. It may be a challenge against your ministry. It may be a teenager. Come on, somebody. Or a place of employment. Your job. But when the peace of God is working in your life, you will also make it through those sticky situations. Just as you successfully made it through the rocky places, the prevailing, conquering peace of God will rule to such an extent that you can walk through these thorny places in life without receiving one poisonous prick to your mind and emotions. There was another reason Roman soldiers wore these greaves of brass. A favorite tactic of the enemy was to dash up to his opponent and kick him so hard in the shin that it broke his leg. Once the soldier had fallen to the ground where he could not defend himself, the enemy would draw his sword and decapitate him. The Roman soldiers' greaves of brass protected them from these kinds of assaults. It would have been very difficult, if not entirely impossible, for an opponent to kick a greave so hard that it would break the Roman soldier's leg. Those brass greaves were specifically designed to guard the soldier's legs against such attacks. As long as soldiers walked with their greaves firmly in place, they could be assured that no enemy would ever be able to break their legs and then take their heads off their shoulders. These brass greaves enabled the soldier to walk through the rockiest of places and never get hurt. The greaves enabled the soldier to walk through wicked thorn patches and never get scratched. And because of these protective greaves, the enemy could kick repeatedly at the Roman soldier's shins, and his legs would never be broken. Peace protects you. Can I get an amen? Do you see why Paul viewed peace as a weapon of defense? When you're walking in the peace of God, that peace protects you from cuts, scrapes, bruises, and hurts. It's like a protective greave, shielding your mind and your emotions from wounds and fears that could impair your life of faith. With the peace of God operative in your life, you can walk through the rockiest and most difficult situations imaginable and never get bruised, cut, or seriously injured. When the peace of God is ruling in your life, you can walk through the storm in your situation that the enemy devises to destroy you, your family, your business, or your church family. During those times, you will wake up and realize, I'm going through some extremely difficult times, and I've never had more joy. Why haven't I been more bothered by all this trouble? Why haven't I been bruised by this situation? I seem to have total peace. As long as you walk in the peace of God, The supernatural peace will continue to give you the protection you need. You can walk through horribly sticky situations and never get picked when you are walking in the divine peace. You may have known people who, naturally speaking, were going through very difficult times in their personal lives and yet continue to display joy in their lives and their countenance. You may have wondered, how are they making it through this time in their lives without losing their minds? How do they do it? There is only one answer: the peace of God. When you are walking in the peace of God, you often don't even realize how difficult your predicament is. You may not even be aware that the enemy is trying to fatally wound you, even though everyone else around you is aware of it. When you are insulated by God's supernatural peace, how is it possible to go through all of these potential dangers without noticing it or without getting hurt? Because the peace of God, like a Roman soldier's greave, is protecting you so completely that you can carry on in life undisturbed by these events. Protection from the devil's attacks. Please know this one thing. The devil will try to kick you in the shins and cause you to fall flat on your face in your spiritual walk. I will guarantee that. Take that to the bank. Try to believe God for a healing. And see if the devil just sits back and watches without giving you a run for your money. Satan doesn't want you to be healed. So to keep you from receiving your healing, he will try all kinds of tricks to get you to doubt and to focus on your symptoms instead of God's promise. Try to believe for God financial breakthrough and see if the devil just sits back and passively watches as the blessings of God begin to freely pour into your life. No, the devil doesn't want you to have God's best. The washer will break, or something crazy. When you begin to grow and move into an increase of material blessings, the enemy will come against you as hard as he possibly can. He will try to tackle you and beat you down into defeat. You might say that he will try to kick you in the shins, break your legs, and take off your head. What will protect you from this kind of kick in the shins? What will protect your mind and emotions from this kind of attack? The peace of God is the weapon that will defend you and keep you safe in the midst of such trying circumstances. This supernatural peace pulls the plug on the devil's effectiveness. The devil's effectiveness, if he can't disturb your peace, he can't disturb you. He may try, but the peace will paralyze his efforts. He has no power to successfully attack you in such cases because you are immersed in the peace of God. This peace is one of the most important pieces of spiritual weaponry you possess. How many of you have ever thought this? My life is falling to pieces. At the present moment, I can feel each and every one of the devil's kicks and they hurt. And in the past, when I walked through those rocky in thorny places, I got all kinds of cuts, scrapes, and bruises that still bother me. And this very moment, every wound I received during those difficult times still inflict my mind and my emotions. If this is the case in your life, then you need to be clothed with the peace of God. It will protect you and carry you through times that are difficult and hard to bear. So please stay alert to this truth as you grow in your walk with God. Spiritual confrontations will come to challenge your new growth. So you must walk in the prevailing and conquering peace of God. Otherwise, the enemy will throw you into a state of mental and emotional irrationality that will destroy your effectiveness in the kingdom of God. Put a guard around your heart. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The word keep, I love this, is taken from the word terio, and it means to keep, to guard, to protect, or to garrison. It is the picture of a band of Roman soldiers who are standing watch over something that needs protection. By using this word, Paul tells us that the peace of God will keep and guard your heart and mind. Peace will surround your heart and mind just as a band of Roman soldiers surrounded important people of influence and places of special importance to guard them from possible harm. Just as these soldiers kept outstanding or outside influences from attacking important people or from breaking into special places, so peace keeps fretfulness, anxiety, worry, and all other wiles of the devil from breaking into your life. When God's peace is active in your life, it surpasses all natural understanding in its ability to protect, guard, keep, and defend you from the enemy's attacks. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Spikes that make you stand firmly. This is my favorite part. Y'all ready? Have you ever felt the devil trying to drive you back from the will of God in your life? Has God ever spoken to you and told you to stand on a certain Bible promise, only to hear the devil telling you that it will never come to pass and that you will fail? Have you ever been mentally assaulted by the enemy in this way? Maybe you're believing that God will work a miracle in your life, and the devil's trying to pull down your faith and keep you from moving into your hand of blessing. If this describes your situation, you need to make doubly sure that you've put on your shoes of peace. Because when you have peace on the bottom of your feet, a herd of elephants couldn't move you or knock you down. On the bottom of a Roman soldier's shoes were extremely dangerous spikes that were 1 to 3 inches long. They served the soldier in two very important ways. First, these spikes helped to hold the soldier's footing in place. When a soldier had 3 inches spikes on the bottom of his feet, and those spikes were firmly planted into the earth, that soldier became very difficult to knock over or to move. God gives us supernatural peace to firmly plant our feet in the ground. His peace enables us to say, regardless of what I see or what I hear, I'm not moving. Regardless of what I see or what I hear, I'm not moving. I don't care how hard it becomes, the peace of God keeps me here, and I'm not moving until the work of God in this area of my life is finished. In other words, the peace of God gives you a firm footing. The devil may attack and attack, but when you have the peace of God functioning in your life, you will never be moved. That peace will hold you in place. A person who has the peace of God actively functioning in his or her life is like a tall palm tree that is blown viciously by the winds of a hurricane. The fierce winds may bend the tree over, but when the storm passes, the palm tree pops right back up in its former position. Although the storm was severe, the roots of that tree held it in place. I want to be rooted in peace. In Ephesians 6:14, the Holy Spirit through Paul said, "Stand therefore." In 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul urges us, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith." Then in 2 Corinthians 1:24, Paul says, "For by faith ye stand." Have you ever tried to stand in faith? Have you ever tried to stand for a miracle? Have you ever tried to stand for a financial situation to turn around? Have you ever tried to stand in faith for a relationship to be healed or restored? There's a whole lot more to standing than first meets the eye. It's interesting to note that the majority of verses in the New Testament that have to do with standing also have to do with faith. When you stand in faith, the enemy will try to eliminate your faith, knowing that the elimination of faith will bring you to defeat. The enemy doesn't want you to maintain your stance of faith. You believe that? What will keep you in place as you seek to stand in faith? What will enable you to maintain your ground when vicious winds of opposition come your way? The supernatural peace of God. Supernatural. Just as the roots of a tree hold the tree in place, when strong winds come against it, God's peace firmly fixed to the bottom of your feet will hold you in your stance of faith as well. Perhaps you have a relative who is terminally ill, and the medical doctor has said he or she has a short time to live. Friends tell you to accept it and work through the emotions of losing a loved one. The devil whispers into your ear and tells you that this relative will not recover. At this particular moment, when you were deciding whether or not to stand in faith, every possible opportunity will come to move you from the place of belief in God. But you must plant your feet firmly into the soil of His Word. Say that again. Plant your feet firmly into the soil of His Word. And declare, I don't care what the medical reports say or what the devil tries to whisper to me, God is going to move in this person's life, and I'm not moving until He does. I'm going to maintain this stance of faith. Only the peace of God will keep you in that place of confidence. Why? Because every other statement you hear will try to persuade you to back away from the promise of God's Word. Maybe it's a financial crisis. Maybe you've been believing God for a miracle to turn your situation around. And the devil has been saying to your mind, you're going to go bankrupt. You're going to lose your witness in the community. The whole town is going to talk about you. God isn't going to come through with this miracle you've been praying for and believing to receive. I know you sowed offerings into the church, but you shouldn't have held on to that. You should have held on to that money. Now you really need it. If you hadn't have given that money to the Lord, you wouldn't be in this mess right now. Y'all have ever heard the enemy say that? When the devil comes to accuse your mind and emotions like this, what is going to keep you in the middle of God's will? What is going to hold you in the place of faith? What is going to enable you to keep standing in faith on the Word? The peace of God. Having immovable faith. When the peace of God is operative in your life, it puts spikes on the bottom of your feet that hold you in place. The supernatural peace of God makes you immovable. The reason so many believers do not receive from God is that they don't walk in the peace of God. The first time they get hit with a challenge or the first time the devil hits them with a slanderous thought, they give in to their emotions and throw in the towel. These believers doubt-filled words and actions tell the devil, okay, you can have the ground I was trying to take by faith. You can just have it. That's right, devil. My relative will never be healed. That's right. Devil, I'm going to be bankrupt. I'll just give up right now. I guess you're right. I should have obeyed the word of God. Shouldn't have obeyed the word of God and given my tithes and offerings to the Lord. Please understand this fact. The devil will always try to convince you that you have financial problems because you gave money to the Lord. Satan will always remind you of the $10 you gave, and if that $10 would have been enough to change your financial, it would have been enough to change your financial situation. There will be plenty of opportunities for you to hear the adversary's slanderous accusations during the course of your Christian life. Therefore, you must learn how to plant your feet firmly in the soil of God's Word. And then by faith to stay right where you are, unmoved and unhindered by the devil's threats and lies. The devil is a liar. Peace is a divine weapon that will insulate you from these vicious attacks. The peace of God will keep you when Satan tries to shove doubt into your mind. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind, even when Satan is doing everything he can think of to make you lose your mind. The peace of God is keeping peace. Offensive weapon. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Notice first the word bruise. It is taken from the word centribo, and it was historically used to denote the act of smashing and utterly crushing grapes into wine. Have you ever accidentally stepped on a grape or something in the kitchen, a cracker, whatever, and felt it squish out from underneath your heels or your toes, especially when you're barefooted? It's messy, isn't it? This is precisely the idea of the word bruise. The word bruise was also used to denote the act of snapping, breaking, and crushing bones. In fact, this is the picture of breaking bones so terribly that they can never be mended or healed. These are bones that have been utterly smashed and crushed beyond recognition. With this in mind, Romans 16:20 teaches us that Satan's only rightful position is under our feet, completely subdued. Come on, get that in your spirit. In fact, the devil has been so subdued that, figuratively speaking, he has been squished like smashed grapes and his bones have been broken and crushed to pieces. It is important to point out that their smashing and crushing of Satan is done in cooperation with God. Alone, you are no match for this arch enemy. Remember, he is a fallen angel. Even in his fallen state, he has retained much of his original intelligence. He is very smart, he's cunning and crafty, and he is also extremely strong. This is the reason that Paul says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet." In other words, this is a joint partnership between you and God himself. By yourself, you can never keep Satan subdued. But with God as your partner, the devil has no chance of ever slipping out from underneath your heel. Jesus completely destroyed. Jesus completely destroyed Satan's power over you through his death and resurrection. Satan was utterly smashed, crushed, and bruised by Jesus' victorious resurrection from the dead. Now your God-given mission is to reinforce the victory already won and to demonstrate just how miserably defeated Satan already is. He's under my feet. The enemy may try to lord himself over you, and he may attempt to exert his foul influence in your life. However, most of his attacks are merely empty threats and illusions he uses to feed fear into your mind. Right? If Satan can get you to believe his hellish tales, your faith will dwindle, your strong stance will waver, and he will truly begin to take a temporal position over you that does not belong to him. But the only place that rightfully belongs to the devil is the small space of ground that is right underneath your feet. Y'all stay with me here. Got 5 more minutes. The victory is already yours. Your healing, your miracle, and your financial blessing, all of these are already yours. Jesus accomplished a total, complete, and perfect work on the cross at Calvary and in his resurrection from the dead. Start walking. Let me remind you of something extremely important. In Joshua, God freely gave the children of Israel the promised land. However, in order for them to possess and enjoy this privilege, they had to go in and put their feet on the ground that God freely had given them. God told Joshua, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given unto you." You see that there in Joshua 1:3. Yet the land God had promised his people was infested with giants and opposition. In order to possess God's promise to them, the Israelites had to go do some walking and fighting. They had to fight for the kingdom of Ai, the city of Jericho, and so on. These enemy forces were not going to easily give up their ownership and surrender to the people of God. Yet in time, the kingdom of Ai was destroyed. The walls of Jericho came down, and the people of God prevailed because God was on their side. It may be that there are areas of sin in your life that seem to linger and defeat you. There may be habits that have held you for a long, long time, for personal struggles that seem impossible to overcome. But at the cross of Jesus Christ, every single one of those hindrances was resolved. Their power over your life was utterly shattered. Now it's time for you to do some walking. Now walk it out. Now walk it out. Now walk it out. Just like the Israelites of old, freedom is yours. Now you must go in and possess the land. If the devil is foolish enough to think he can stand in your way, just remember, God is right there with you. This is a joint partnership between you and God. Therefore, march straight ahead and claim what is yours. And if the devil refuses to move, take this as an opportunity to smash him like grapes and crush him beyond recognition. This is your chance to demonstrate Satan's defeat. With a God of peace on your side, you're a whole lot bigger than the devil. So throw your back your shoulders, hold your head up high, dig your heels down as deep as you can. Don't listen to the Satan's hellish accusations and threats. Rather, when he whispers his lies to your mind and emotions, wiggle your heels down even deeper into the dirt to remind him that he isn't coming out from underneath your feet. What does shortly mean in Romans 16:20? And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Notice that Paul ends this powerful statement with the word shortly. The word is taken from the Greek word tekos. When I said it in my iPad, it said taken from the word tacos. I'm glad I changed it. Made me hungry this morning, about 6 o'clock. I was like, man, I'm ready for some tacos. I ain't even going to lie. Street tacos. And depicts the picture of a large group of Roman soldiers marching down the street. Tacos. It's already there. That's a word from the Lord. Brandy, Pastor Brandy, where are you? We need to go to the boulevard tonight. The word shortly describes how they marched. These ancient men of war were taught to take very hard, short, heavy steps when they marched in formation. Therefore, when a large group of Roman soldiers came marching through town, their noise could be heard everywhere as they stomped and pounded the cobblestones and marble pavement in the streets. Oh, it reminds me of this, just like righteousness, people see you coming. When you're walking in peace, people see it on you as well. They hear it on you as well with your mouth. Come on, somebody. The clapping of the soldiers' shoes upon that pavement served as a warning to the community. They were very proud and were taught that they were to stop for no one. If a little old woman fell on the ground in front of them, that was her problem, not theirs. She should have known better than to get in front of Roman soldiers. In such events, they were instructed to keep marching, marching, and marching, all the while stomping, pounding, and clapping their heavy feet and spikes upon the pavement. Imagine what the poor old lady would have looked like after an entire group of stomping, pounding feet with spikes on the bottom of them had walked over her. Now, Paul uses the same illustration to portray our victorious position in Jesus Christ. By using the word shortly, which depicts the stomping and pounding and the short, heavy steps that Roman soldiers took, Paul is giving us an extremely graphic picture. If the devil wants to stand in front of you and try to oppose you in the work of God in your life, then don't stop and ask him to move. Just keep marching. Come on. Just keep marching. I'm about to get Pentecostal in here. Woo! Keep stomping and pounding as you move forward to obey the plan of God in your life. And as you move forward in faith, do as much damage to the enemy as you possibly can. I'm in the Lord's army. All right. Romans 16:20. Your statement of faith, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under my feet shortly. There is no doubt about it. The peace of God is an awesome, powerful weapon that we should use on a daily basis. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under my feet shortly. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under my feet shortly. You know what I'm going to say this week? The God of peace shall bruise Satan under my feet shortly. Oh, how many of y'all need to walk in the peace of God? Oh, amen. Let's walk in the next week. We got the shield of faith. All right? Faith is like a rope. Amen? Amen. How many of y'all get something out of the word tonight? Man, it was a lot in there. But I'm telling you, it'll change your life if you choose to walk in peace. Amen? Lord, we thank you for your word, that it's a lamp unto our feet, that it's a light unto our path. Oh, Lord, I pray that in this room, I pray for moms, dads, I pray for grandmas, grandpas. Oh, Lord, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. I pray, Lord, that they are becoming warriors. They're not becoming hearers of the word. They're not just becoming knowledgeable about warfare. But, Lord, you are making them warriors. They're doers of the word. May your word be a lamp unto their feet and be a light into their path. Lord, I just thank you, God. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you as we dig deeper. Oh, we can never reach the bottom. We can never reach the bottom. And Lord, tonight, I just thank you for revelation that went forth.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.